morning's reading is from Mark chapter 4. You find it on page 934 of your Bible. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the edge of the water, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tony. Oops. Great. Let's pray then as we look at this. Father God, as we just read, we are dependent on you sowing your word in us. Lord, help us to receive it with joy, to be changed by it, and to live our lives in it as well. Amen. Great. Indeed, this is all about how we respond to God's word. This is what this is all about. And there's different things in which we can respond to in the world in a similar way. There's lots of things depending on how we view them, how we receive it, would be how well we use it. For example, you might see, wait for that to come up, you might see instructions on how to make furniture. And some people take those instructions and follow every step of it, bit by bit, and build it just as it is. Some people think, I don't need that, I can build it my own way. Others might receive directions by road to somewhere, to go from A to B, and they'll think, well, that's all very well, but actually I know a quicker route. I'll take my own route. I don't need to follow the exact directions. I've got a better way of getting there. And of course, most worryingly, we see that some people, they see warnings everywhere. And they either heed those warnings and stand back, or they'll walk straight past those warnings. They won't even take notice of them. And this is how the word of God works in us. And what we see here is that Jesus lays out six people. There's six ways to receive the word of God. Six ways. And we'll get to that, why there's six. Initially, it looks like there's four. And the challenge we see here is throughout this whole parable is that it speaks to every single one of us. Jesus is challenging everyone who's ever heard or read the word of God. And the challenge here is, which one are you? Which one are you? That's the challenge. This is what this parable is saying. Jesus says, I'm going to lay out six people. Which one are you? Let me try and get this on. Initially looks like four, but we're actually going to see six people. And the question that keeps coming up as we go through this, which one are you? Which one are you? Just to recap, so Jesus explains the parable after he's spoken it. So what he says, verse 3, listen, the farmer went out to sow his seed. So here we see this picture of this farmer going out and he's sowing seed. Quite liberally, throwing it everywhere. And he's painting a picture of the growth from the seed is dependent on where the seed lands. How is that seed received by the various types of ground it lands on? And he goes on to say, verse 14, the farmer sows the word. So as he explains the parable, he tells us the seed is actually God's word. And he's not actually talking about ground, he's talking about people. How is God's word received? That depends on its effectiveness in your life. Just go through these, always asking ourselves, which one are you? Which one are you? First one, a path. Are you a path? Are you a path? This is the first person that Jesus describes. Verse 4. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So here we have this picture of this seed scattered on this path, and instantly the birds take it away. So what does that mean then? What are we supposed to take from that? Verse 15. This is Jesus' explanation. He says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So the issue here is not Satan. This is not what Jesus is talking about. The issue here is the path. Are you a path? And he uses this path analogy. This is a hard, well-trodden road. This is the bulk of people. This hardened, well-trodden road. And it's not about Satan, it's the fact that the seed can never take root in this place. And it's just easy for Satan to deal with. This is someone who has no interest in God's word at all. It's in one ear, out the other. No interest at all. And so if we're going to think of our three examples, which one are we relating this to? Well, this is the person who doesn't heed warnings. This is the person who just is not interested in God's word, not interested in being warned about a life of sin, and just happily walking through life with their fingers in their ears. There's nothing you can tell me. And what Jesus has painted here is this hardened path is a picture of a hardened heart. This is the unrepentant person. This is someone who's walking straight into hell. They refuse to heed the warnings. They're unrepentant. That's the path. We do not want to be the path. But the question's still there. Which one are you? Which one are you? The next one. Are you a rocky place? Are you a rocky place? Verse 5 and 6 from the parable. So some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. No root. So this is what we're talking about. Jesus goes on to explain this. So verses 16 and 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So the issue here is roots. Roots. And this person hears the word and receives it instantly with joy. Well, this Jesus bloke sounds interesting. He's got some good ideas. This is all quite eye-opening. But this person thinks, even though I like the sound of it, I'm just going to hold it at a distance, okay? I don't want to get too involved because it might not be what I'm expecting. And when things get hard, when the sun comes up and the heat beats down, because this person's kept it at a distance, when the sun beats down on it, they think, you know what? This is difficult. This is what he's saying. Verse 6, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. Because there's no root and they wanted to hold it at a distance, they don't want to get too involved. Soon as hostility comes, persecution, soon as life gets difficult, they think, you know what? Not worth it. It's not worth the hassle. Verse 17. But since they had no root, since they did not receive it properly, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So what are we talking about? What sort of examples are we talking about? Well, we just had James come up the front. This is exactly what we're talking about. If James didn't have deep roots, along with his family, when persecution comes, when your Christian school starts trying to criminalize you because you're preaching the word, a person with short roots, shallow roots, would instantly think, nah, can't be done with this. It's that sort of persecution. And often, sadly, in lots of church circles, is when someone receives the word initially with joy, but there's no deep roots, and maybe they might get challenged by their pastor or something in the home group. And that person thinks, well, you know what? Not worth it. I'm out of here. This is about burying deep roots. What's this person like? When we think of our three examples, well, this is the person who doesn't listen to instructions, thinks, I've got a better way. I know you want me to go this direction, but actually, I've got a better, quicker route. I'll decide the route I'll take, thanks. And this person just wants to go their own way, and they'll be eternally lost. They just want to hold Jesus, Christianity, at a distance. They think that there are other alternatives that might suit them better. Which one are you? We don't want to be a path. We don't want to be this rocky place. Are we a thorny place? This is the third person. Are we a thorny place? Verse 7 of the parable. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. So we see that there seems to be growth, but then all these thorns and these weeds come in and completely kill the growth. And Jesus explains this, verse 18 and 19. He says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So this is all about priorities. All about priorities. What really matters in my life? What is the most important thing in my life? So the person that is at a thorny place, they'll hear the word. And this person will receive it with joy. They might even come to church. And this person seems initially receptive to the word. But church and God's word is only ever a sideshow. It's never the main act. It's hummus. Only ever a side dish. It's never the main course. Not that there's anything wrong with hummus. I like hummus. I've got lots of friends who are hummus. Hummus is great, but it's not the main course. It will never be enough. And this is what the thorny place person is doing. Church and all this is just a sideshow. Because they've got their priorities wrong. It's never the number one thing in their life. And because of that, no ultimate commitment is made. No separation from their old life. They want to hold on to the things of their old life, just in case, a bit like the rocky place. This person is not willing to make the sacrifices needed to be a follower of Christ. This person thinks the world can still offer me something that Christ can. And just in case, like the rocky place, I'm going to hold on to those things. And there'll never be true conversion. The busyness of life takes over. The attractions of the world, the things that the world can offer, are never sacrificed, never put to one side. And because of this, because life, the worldly life takes over, this person thinks, I don't have time for Jesus. I don't have room for church in my life. They don't even give themselves scope to grow anything. Look at verse 7 again. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. No chance of conversion. Thanks, but no thanks. This is the person who takes the instructions to build and thinks, you know what? I've got a better way of building it. I don't need to follow the instructions. I can build my life my way. I will use the tools and the materials of the world to build my life. I don't need your instructions. Thank you, Jesus. This person's doomed to fail as well. When life crowds in on you, it choked the word, making it unfruitful. Verse 19. Which one are you? Are you good soil? This is where we want to be heading. Are you good soil? Verse 8 then of the parable. Verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And Jesus tells us what this means. Verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil. There's that good soil again. We'll come to that in a minute. Hear the word, accept it, and because of that, produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Good soil. This is where we're going. This is where we get the three people. We're seeing the four examples, but there are six in here. And the common factor with this one, with this good soil, is not good people. Okay? This is not what we're talking about. Jesus is not saying good soil equals good people. That's not what he's saying. We know that because Romans 3 verse 23 is quite clear. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no such thing as good people. So good soil does not equal good people. But the good soil is the common factor here. So what exactly is good soil? What's Jesus talking about? The good soil is quite simply a sinner who, upon hearing the word, listens takes it in, is convinced of its truth, repents of their sin, and then acts on what the word is saying. Good soil is just merely someone who listens and accepts, acts on the word of God. Whatever they hear, whatever they read, whatever they're taught, they live it out because they are transformed by it. The seed is taking root and it is growing because that person is receptive. That's all that the good soil means. James talked about this in his book, James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. Don't just listen, but act on it. And this is where we get the six people. Look at verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, that's just merely someone who hears it, acts on it. Hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Here's our six people. This is what Jesus is talking about. And we want to be in these last three. We want to be good soil. We want to be people who produce a crop. No matter what happens, if the sun comes up, we're still producing grain. And this person heeds the warnings found in Scripture. This person builds their life as God dictates. And this person follows the directions Jesus gives. They don't ignore any of this. They use every aspect of it. And a fruitful crop will come from this. And what do we mean by fruitful crop? Jesus is not saying that if you're only good soil, if you're converting 30, 60 or 100 people, that's not what he's saying. That's not the fruit he's talking about. The fruit here is merely the outworkings of living a life of gospel obedience. The fruit is your actions. Obviously, the natural outworking of that will be to draw other people to Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. We're evidence here. We've been here 5 years. We've not even seen a 30-fold increase. That would be fantastic if we saw that. It's just the fruit, the outward actions of true conversion. Someone who's been regenerated by Christ, who's now able to live for him. Someone who's so deeply rooted in the Bible that it dictates everything they do. And for some, that will be different. That's why Jesus is saying some have deeper roots. Some bloom more than others. They're 30, 60, 100-fold. But here are the six people. Which one are you? That's the challenge that Jesus is saying. Which one are you? How do you respond to God's word? Because we want to be in this one. This is the goal. We want to aim for the 100-fold multiplication of fruit. We want maximum effectiveness of God's word in our life. We don't want to aim low. There's no point putting the bar as low as we can. We want to stick the bar as high as possible. We want to aim for the maximum fruitfulness of God's word. And the only way to do that is to completely immerse ourselves in his word, in church life. So that when the sun comes up, it doesn't affect us. When life gets hard, when other things crowd in, we're so deeply rooted in him that we can still produce fruit in that. We want to be hearers and doers. Of course, the challenge here is if that isn't us, then we get down on our hands and knees and we pray to God and we ask him, make me receptive to your word. So our goal here is to grow, to dig our roots so deeply into that. And there's two things that if we are being fruitful, two things that we can take for this that give us great reassurance. And that is the first one, assurance. If we're producing fruit, that's the assurance we need that God's word has taken root in our lives. If we are producing fruit, that's all the assurance we need. That's the proof that God's word has changed us. We're absorbing his word. We're acting on it. And that gives us the confidence to live for him. If we're producing fruit, we have God's word in our life. You cannot produce fruit without that. This is what Paul was saying, Romans chapter 8. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. So the ground that will not receive God's word will never produce fruit. The person who doesn't listen is hostile to God. They're God's enemy. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God unless you've got God's word in your life. So if you're bearing fruit, that's all the evidence you need that God has changed you. And that fruit will grow no matter if the sun beats down, no matter what the world throws at you. That fruit will grow. That's the assurance we have. That's the first thing we take away. The second thing is with that assurance, we have a boldness. A boldness to tackle whatever the world throws at us. That assurance gives us a boldness and a confidence and a sense of peace. A sense of acceptance from God. If we're producing fruit and we have that assurance, then we know we're good soil. We've not made ourselves good soil. God has cultivated us to be good soil. And that will naturally overflow towards others. Not in a self-righteousness or holier-than-thou type of attitude. But if we have that assurance from producing fruit and that boldness, then that will naturally overflow in our lives. And that's where people, instead of seeing us, will see Christ in us. That's when other people who might not be that receptive to the word might suddenly think, there's something in this. If this person has changed like this, and quite often that's the case, a lot of people, well, I knew you before a Christian, and now I can't believe what you're like. People will see the power of Christ in you. People will stop seeing you and they'll see Christ working through you. And this is a self-feeding cycle. If we're good soil and we listen and act, then there will be fruit naturally coming. And there'll be a boldness within that because we know we're good soil. And we know we're good soil because there's fruit that's coming from that. That's the assurance we need. And that gives us a boldness to go forward because we know we're good soil. All because we receive God's word and act on it in his power. Which one are you? Which one are you? The goal is to get on our hands and knees and pray that he makes us good soil. Let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your life transforming word, which you've revealed to us in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Help us by your Spirit not to be just hearers of your word, but doers too. And Lord, whenever we don't understand your word, are we not sure how to act in us, would we be like your disciples who came to you and asked for an explanation? Lord, teach us to immerse ourselves in your word so it dictates everything we do. And by your power, would we bear much fruit to the praise and glory of your name. Amen.